Hi, Erica Edelson. Welcome to KBOO.
Thank you for having me.
Erica Edelson is co-founder of the California Alliance for Community Energy. She describes herself as a recovering lawyer, a public service lawyer, now as a writer, including on climate change and the environment. Erica Edelson, California's longtime governor, several stints in office, Jerry Brown, he recently went to war with our new very aggressive militant climate change denying, oil-loving, burn baby, burn president on climate change. Brown basically said that California would continue on its way to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and move towards 100% clean renewables as soon as possible. California does lead the country and has this tremendous reputation. Some of it seems to be as deserved. A lot of it is inflated, and much more has to be done. Why don't you talk about, though, the basis of its reputation and some of its limitations?
California certainly has been a leader in terms of renewable energy, primarily solar power, but also a lot of wind. And it's over the years has adopted a number of policies that really incentivize people in their homes and in businesses to install solar, and has also had a number of incentives and programs around energy efficiency and just the overall reduction of our electricity demand in our state. And that's actually really important and often overlooked because that's the easiest and fastest and cheapest way to curb greenhouse gas emissions is to reduce the demand for electricity, just to not burn so much in the first place. California's electricity consumption has actually held steady for 10 or 20 years now, even as the population has continued to grow. So we are strong in that respect, and it's the result of very strong grassroots community pressure on the part of people and nonprofit environmental organizations and environmental justice organizations who have pushed to implement these policies, and also a very robust kind of entrepreneurial, and California is famous for all its entrepreneurialism, but in recent years a lot of that has taken place in the clean energy, clean tech space. So we have such a vibrant solar industry and clean tech more generally who have helped bring in a lot of innovations that have continued to both drive down our use of electricity and come up with different technologies for ways to use more renewable electricity in our mix. California was one of the earlier states to adopt a renewable portfolio standard. And what that means is that it has a series of targets whereby by a certain year, a certain percentage of the electricity that is used in the state has to come from renewable sources. And other states, a number of states have this now. California's is among the most aggressive, although I think at this point we've maybe been beat out by Colorado and maybe Massachusetts and a couple of other states. And at this stage, I believe, and I'm always forgetting because it's always changing for the better, which is a good thing, but I believe our current standard calls for 50% renewable by 2020 or 2030. But it's fairly aggressive, and it's not that easy to get to. It absolutely can be done, but the right policies have to be in place in order to make that happen. And I think one of those policies that I feel very strongly about and work a lot on is the promotion of community choice energy programs in California, and that is quickly becoming a big driver of the adoption of renewables across the state.
Erica, as much as California has done in both conservation and of energy, as well as producing much more renewable energy of many kinds, some bigger plants, lots of rooftops. In fact, I read 400,000 rooftops, which is more rooftop solar than any place else in the country, and more going up all the time because of building codes. But despite all of that work, it's just not enough. Climate scientists point out that the reduction has to be on the planet, has to now be on the order of 6% per year for the planet. And, of course, many poor countries and developing countries are vastly increasing their amount of greenhouse gas reduction and, in fact, have good arguments for saying it's the industrial countries who are doing the most and they're the most responsible. and they have to take the brunt of it. In any event, it's going to be very hard to get to the 50% renewal by whatever it was, 2030, 2020, and by 2040 or 50, it has to be like at 80% in order to save the planet or on an irreversible path. Your commitment is the community energy, that is community choice. As I read it, it really has wonderful possibilities. Why don't you discuss that?
Sure. Well, just so your listeners know, when we talk about community choice energy, what we're referring to is actually a not-for-profit government agency that provides electricity and electricity-related services to the people in a certain jurisdiction. It's usually a county. In one case, there's one city in California that went it alone and has its own small community choice program. But the key is that if you have enough people, then their collective load and their collective dollars that they're spending on electricity, instead of all of that money going to the monopoly utility that we've been under for over 100 years, instead, that money can go to your local non-for-profit public agency that will then use that money more wisely and in a more climate-friendly and community-friendly manner, by which I mean instead of just continuing the business-as-usual approach of buying the cheapest energy on the market, which in California now is usually mostly natural gas, instead that money is used to develop local renewable resources in the community. So a lot of rooftop solar on houses, on community buildings, small-scale solar arrays in the more rural areas, some wind development where that's appropriate. And that's a very different model and a very different opportunity than we've had for all these years. So all of the money circulates locally in the community. We are buying our electricity locally, and that money is being spent on programs that benefit the community and create jobs in solar installation and other jobs. Instead of having all of that money flowing into the coffers of a monopoly utility like we have here in the Bay Area, we have Pacific Gas and Electric. You probably have your own big monopoly utility.
We have two of them in Portland. There's three big ones in California, I understand. And we'll be talking about them. They're greatly in opposition. I was shocked when I began reading about it that 5% of the American people now are living in areas that have community choice programs. Lots in California and Massachusetts and Ohio and other states, in New York, and they're growing. And furthermore, they offer electric energy, and often cheaper and at least competitive to one of the big investor-owned utilities and their financiers, who really do make huge amounts of money on ordinary people's needs. Tell us about that. How do they do it?
Well, I think that mainly they're able to do it because they're not siphoning off the profits to shareholders. So all of the money that's coming in, being paid by their own customers on their monthly utility bills, that money is then reinvested in the program. And so they can use that to offset the cost of renewables, for people to put up solar or to provide energy efficiency programs for people. All of that money gets spent instead of lining the pockets of CEOs and shareholders. So that's really the biggest reason. I do want to point out, though, that there is a big difference between the community choice programs in California and in most of the other states. A community choice program doesn't necessarily have to use all of the revenue to purchase renewables. It can instead use it to reduce people's electricity bills. And it could also do both, but those two things are in tension with each other, right? Because if you're charging people less for their electricity, you don't have as much money to play around with to be doing things like developing local renewables and providing energy efficiency services. Those things do cost money. And so what ends up happening is really a function of the community in which the program is rooted. And so if you have a community that's very concerned about the environment and also wants to make sure that the program is delivering economic and environmental benefits to the local community, then they're going to demand certain things of the program and hold the directors of that program accountable, because these are elected officials and they're accountable to the public, and they will demand that the program do certain things. But then in other states that have maybe a different set of concerns or aren't as progressive or concerned about the environment, they might just be demanding that the program simply lower rates, and their mandate for their program then is, hey, just get the cheapest energy you can possibly find and have our bills be as low as possible, and who cares about anything else. That can always happen. That is a danger of what could happen in a community choice program, but it's really a function, I think, of the people who are the grassroots who are pushing for the creation of the program. What is it exactly that they're pushing for? And once the program launches, those members of the public need to continue to watchdog the program and continue to press their demands, or it really could turn into just a program that's all about just lowering people's bills.
This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm talking to Erica Edelson, who is the co-founder of the California Alliance for Community Energy, that's doing extremely well in creating more community choice districts all over California, although there's a lot of opposition by the utilities. We'll talk about that soon. Erica, we were talking about how it can be done cheaper. My sense is in the future, because one of the things that the big utilities like is huge wind farms all over the country, in fact, but they have to build a huge grid to bring power from, you know, the Dakotas down to Los Angeles or to St. Louis. It seems to me that huge grid doesn't become necessary. Your local grids can handle it, and that's one huge source of savings. And also because the rooftop solar and the small installations are getting so much cheaper now and don't require environment-destroying huge land masses, it's going to be cheaper and better environmentally in so many ways.
Well, I agree for sure. Just local distributed generation is the way to go. And by that, we're primarily talking about rooftop solar is kind of the gold standard for that. And the price is coming down so rapidly. It is close to achieving what we call grid parity, which means it costs the same as the standard traditional mix of electricity that's on the grid. And it's going to continue to go down. And as I like to say to people, because you mentioned the environmental issues, there's no endangered species on your roof. So it's not like these giant solar farms in the desert or in other sensitive ecosystems where there are some environmental impacts, but there's no endangered species on your roof. So it's a great place to do it. And you're generating it exactly where you're using it, so there's no loss of electricity across long-distance transmission lines, which is actually a fairly significant loss that occurs in California if you're importing solar from remote desert stations and transporting it hundreds or thousands of miles to the population centers. That's a gigantic waste right there, not to mention if there's talk of bringing in wind from the Midwest and things like that across the whole North American transmission line, that makes no sense.
Erica, when you were talking about the use of the surplus that can be gained, that is the monies that a community choice energy, these public agencies, what seems to me though so interesting is that you've created really a process of, quote, participatory budgeting, where people get together and talk about their interests and then ultimately make choices, probably by voting, but after a long period of discussion, what really does our community want to do? So if they want to do much more public transit or make the whole city a park in a complex way, even by encouraging and sometimes subsidizing people who would do little gardens and the rest all over, if it was a park, people would walk much more through their neighborhood rather than, in fact, driving 30 miles to a national preserve or some park. Also, saving water is so important in California and everywhere on Earth now. The needs are tremendous, and people can talk about them. It's a really democratizing process that then builds a culture of conservation.
Yeah, well, I do want to just clarify that with a community choice energy program, it brings energy democracy to the community. It doesn't touch on some of those other things you were mentioning as far as water and parks.
Right.
And,
that would have to be acted on. That would have to be acted on by the community council of one kind.
I think you're right to bring it up in that it does, it sort of shifts the culture and it expands people's minds and understanding of what's possible, because we're used to a very top-down system where these, you know, unaccountable corporations or government agencies are just doing who knows what, and it's not for our benefit and it's for profit or it's corrupt. And there's a different way of doing it where you structure it in the community in a way that's transparent and accountable to what the community wants and needs. So I think it does create a good model that could apply to other aspects of governance and meeting people's basic needs as well.
One final issue. The big utilities see community choice aggregation as a tremendous threat to them, and of course it is, because if people start getting their energy from their local democratically run supplier at lower rates, it puts the not just the utilities out of business, but the big financial firms. Financing public utilities is a tremendous source of profit for the bond market. It's regular, it's riskless, and it makes huge amounts of money, and everybody pays in. They're staunchly against community energy. And in California, it seems to me it's very visible. Tell us about the opposition and how Jerry Brown, who has a good record on most things, has been very disappointing.